As we come to the time to hear the Word of God, let's pray together, as printed in your bulletin. By your Holy Spirit, O God, open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to the Holy Word, so that it comes to rule within us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The scripture for today comes from the Old Testament. I'll be reading to you from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, and verses 1 through 20. This is a pretty long one, so just get comfy, folks. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And this is the word of the God for the people of God.
Thank you, sweetheart, for sharing the word today. I guess I don't always say thank you, sweetheart, to all my liturgists, so... Sorry, Howard. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you speak. How you speak through the Holy Word. And how you speak into each of our lives intimately, personally. Keep us open to your words, to your grace. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Whenever I was first introduced to Bishop Reuben Job, he became someone who I enjoyed reading. There are those that speak to us and speak a word of grace to us. And while Bishop Reuben Job is now gone to be with God in glory, just passing away recently, I came upon a reflection of his, and I'd like to share it with you. There was a light drizzle in the air as I walked along a darkening road, hands in my pockets, head down, thinking of a task I was to do, and quite oblivious to the world around me. Suddenly, a voice called my name. My head came up. I looked around and there spotted a friend who was driving by and had stopped his car to greet me. We were several thousand miles from my home and hundreds of miles from his home. I suspect much of my life has been like that. Preoccupied with personal issues and oblivious to the voice of God calling to me every day and in every circumstance. God's call in our lives is something that is intimate, personal, and constant. God's speaking into our lives is something that is a gift for each and every one of us here. And God speaks into the life of each and every one here. Not because I've just said it, but because the biblical witness offers that, shares that, and we also have experienced that in our own lives as well. How often has God spoken into our life through someone that we've known? Someone that maybe we've known well, maybe someone that we are an acquaintance with, or maybe somebody that we've just met and maybe we'll never even see them again. And yet God speaks vibrantly if we will only open ourselves to that experience. Samuel, we understand, was working in the temple. We also understand that Samuel was working in the temple at a time when things were not going well. If we read the verses before, preceding these verses that were offered this morning, we understand that Eli, the priest, had his hands full with his sons that were basically interested in doing their own thing. Have you ever had to deal with somebody who was just doing their own thing and didn't really care what you had to say to them? Didn't listen to you? Didn't listen to your wisdom and guidance? Have you ever been that person? I didn't mean to look at the choir in particular. I was just trying to share it with everyone and include everyone. You ever been that person? Didn't really care. Just wanted to do your own thing. Do whatever felt good. Yeah. That was the circumstance. In fact, part of this particular reading is about what's going to happen to Eli and his sons. As they have turned away from God, as they have been guided by carnal pursuits, if you will, there will also be judgment that comes and that follows. And while that's something that we don't necessarily want to speak of, it's mentioned here for a purpose and for a reason. We are given grace every single day. God speaks into our lives every single day. In other words, God is approaching us again and again and again. But if we continue to turn away from that, for whatever reason, we will find ourselves in predicaments and in circumstances where we will eventually then be crying out to God once more. And God's grace will be there, certainly to meet us. God's grace will be there once again pouring out over us. But wouldn't it be more joyful to live in a way where we listen to God the first time? Now, believe it or not, some people in this church wear hearing devices. And just this past week, a brother in Christ who couldn't get his hearing device working actually asked me to pray for his hearing device and for his visit to go ahead and get it corrected. I don't know, was it corrected? Okay, he's giving me the thumbs up. Fantastic. That's wonderful. It's not like after worship we're going to bring up our hearing aids and lay them on the altar and I'm going to go ahead and pray over them or anoint them or anoint your ears. I'm not that guy. But listening can be a challenge, certainly whenever we have limited ability, but listening to what other people say, whatever the people actually offer to us, can also be a challenge. And sometimes we respond to what others say with fear more than anything else. I think now in our society there's an awful lot of fear going around, isn't there? For a lot of things. And there are individuals that are guided more by fear than by faith. And if we claim the name of Christ, if we claim the name of Jesus, then we are called to be people of faith more than fear. Certainly, and one commentator who I read looking at this particular scripture passage has put it in an interesting way. That tingling that is mentioned in the scripture reading that was offered. Your ears will tingle. Okay, remember that verse? That tingling refers to the fact that sometimes one ear tingles with fear, but the other ear should tingle with faith always. Certainly, maybe we're a little bit nervous about what the future holds or what God has in store for us. But nonetheless, we can know that God will always, always and already be at work. Fear is something that is prevalent in society. In fact, just in the parade section of the newspaper today. Did anybody read the parade section of the newspaper today? I'm not advertising for it. You don't need to go out and pick it up. But there's a story on what we're afraid of. All sorts of things. Now, there's some of the big ones. Spiders. Maybe, okay. Scorpions, possibly. Rattlesnakes. You know, all those things live out here in Yuma, too, so I don't know what that says. Other things that you're afraid of or fearful of or have been fearful of in your life. And we understand that while those things, and sometimes it is good to be wary of those items that I just mentioned, those critters. In fact, I was taking a walk one night, and I saw one of those critters all curled up in the street. You know, I gave him plenty of space. And that was pretty wise. So my fear was worthwhile there. I didn't just walk up and say, oh, hi, rattlesnake, how are you? And pet him or something like that. Sometimes our fear can guide us in the right way. We can use that. But that's not the predominant motivation in our lives. There's a movie, came out a number of years ago. It's in the Harry Potter series of movies. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Harry Potter, I'd never watch that. That's all about wizardry and magic. Well, it also talks about friendship. It talks about working together. And it talks about overcoming fears. And one of the particular movies is The Prisoner of Azkaban. Judy and I just watched this last night. And there's a lot in that movie that talks about fear and what people are fearful of. And there's a particular scene in the movie where there is a closet, okay? And this particular critter comes out, and whatever person is standing there, that creature will take on the form of what that person is most fearful of. You get it? So whatever you're fearful of, if you're standing in front of that closet, it comes out, and guess what? It's going to be that thing. But you can approach this fear by chanting a curse, ridiculosum, something like that. I'm not really good with chants and things like that and magical incantations. And all of a sudden, it changes into something ridiculous. For instance, if it's a spider, all of a sudden the spider has roller skates on all the legs. You ever seen a spider with roller skates on all of his legs? It's kind of funny, and you start laughing at it, and you realize you don't need to be afraid anymore. Sometimes it's simply confronting our fears. We understand. That's not really where all of our energy should be. Sometimes it's simply having faith in the midst of unknowing. Samuel did that. He heard God's voice at a time whenever there was an awful lot of fear, unknowing, uncertainty in the temple. In fact, visions and the voice of the Lord were kind of rare. And yet God spoke to this young man who didn't even really know God fully yet. And Samuel first thinks it's Eli, his boss, calling him, the priest. And he goes and he keeps saying, here I am, here I am. And finally, Eli, even though he had lost some of his vision and things were not going well in his life, was able to see that God was doing something new, yet God was not finished. Remarkable, isn't it? This community effort of being able to experience and receive God speaking and God's voice, to be able to hear God's call and God doing a new thing, is quite remarkable indeed. So God speaks. God spoke and was calling Samuel. Even though God was not speaking to Eli anymore, Eli was still able to recognize this call upon Samuel's life. And working together and understanding that God was still active, even as God's people had turned away from God, there was a marvelous and remarkable new beginning that took place. How are you allowing fear to guide your decisions or your life? What is it that you're fearful of, that you need to hand to God, maybe hand over to God again? Maybe you've done it already, but you need to hand it over to God again and simply trust. And sometimes handing over that fear or that thing that we're nervous about, that thing that we're uncertain about, doesn't mean that it takes away that feeling that we have immediately. But as we continue to trust in God, the one who can take care of all fears, the one whose grace is washing over us, the one whose love through Jesus continues to surge in us, as we continue to do that bit by bit, what we are fearful of dissipates. And faith fills that place. Trust grows. And we start hearing God more and more in our journey. The other thing to ponder is, how are you hearing God speak in your life right now? God speaking into each and every life here. How are you open? How are you hearing it through others? How are you hearing it in nature? How are you hearing it in the church? How are you hearing it in your home? How are you hearing it in your Bible reading? How are you hearing it in prayer? In all those different ways, God speaks. God speaking to you. God speaks to the young and old alike. How is He speaking to you right now? At this time, I'd like to invite forward our district superintendent, Reverend Gary Kennedy. He has some news to be able to share with us right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I bring you greetings from our bishop, Bishop Robert Hoshibata, who currently is attending the College of Bishop meetings in Seattle, Washington, and jurisdictional meetings. He asked me to be here and to be here personally to deliver this letter to this congregation. Dear friends, as you may know, the Reverend Gary Kennedy is leaving his position as Central West District Superintendent on June 30th. After consultation and prayerful discernment, I have invited your pastor, the Reverend Neil Lefwich, to succeed Reverend Kennedy in the office of District Superintendent. I am appreciative of Reverend Lefwich's many gifts for ministry, and I am pleased to share the news that he has accepted my invitation. Therefore, I intend to appoint the Reverend Lefwich to that position beginning July 1st, 2015. Reverend Lefwich will continue to serve as your pastor through June 2015. I know that you will miss him as your pastor and leader. I encourage you to find ways to celebrate his ministry at Gila Mountain UMC and to send Reverend Lefwich and Judy on their new journey with love and appreciation. Before your church conference this last fall, your district superintendent discussed your needs with regards to your pastoral situation with your staff parish relations committee. I will be working with the cabinet as we seek God's wisdom in determining who will best lead Gila Mountain United Methodist Church as your next pastor. Superintendent Kennedy and I look forward to working with you during this time of transition as we give thanks for the past and present, but also have our sights set on determining the way forward to achieve the best future for Gila Mountain United Methodist Church and your community. Blessings. Robert T. Hoshibata, Resident Bishop, the Desert Southwest Conference, Phoenix area, United Methodist Church. I bring you this letter this morning, and it's one that I know it's difficult to receive, but also one that I share in the spirit, knowing that you have all been blessed by your pastor, by Judy. And your pastor greets you all. When you say, how are you? What does he say? I am blessed. He is blessed. Judy is blessed. You have been blessed in the wisdom of our bishop. He's calling upon Neil to provide leadership and a blessing to 40 different churches. Times of transition sometimes are difficult, but please receive it in the discerning spirit in which I share it from the bishop, one in which, because of the blessing of who Neil is, he's being called and promoted and asked to do this greater task for the church. And so, understanding the heartful way that you receive it, I also want to say thank you for helping to prepare him to be an outstanding district superintendent. And to Neil and Judy, I say congratulations, and may God bless you. Thank you.